Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It is Wednesday, April the 30th, last day of April in the year 2025, and we're on to program number 1365 of the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., and of course, in addition to radio, we're on 101.1 FM. You can also get us at our website, that is rcistlucia.com. Please be sure to like and share that link as well with your friends and family. And of course, we are also streaming live on Facebook. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. Now, we want you to be able to call in to tell us what's on your plate today. And the number to do so is 4523046. Again, that's our mainline number here. It is 4523046. You can also reach us on our WhatsApp number, and that is 724-0008. Again, 724-0008. Now, today we want to send out some birthday greetings. First to Miss Tiana Foster. Happy, happy birthday to you, Tiana, and we're hoping that you're having a fantastic birthday celebration. Also to Miss Berthia Nixon. Happy, happy birthday to you. And we do hope that you're going to have a splendid birthday celebration, although I suspect you probably, you know, looking forward to Bexor Jazz, which is coming up tomorrow, and organizing all of that going on. So we do hope that you have a wonderful birthday celebration as well. And we also want to send out birthday greetings to Miss Louise Nicholas. Happy, happy birthday to you, Louise, and hoping that you're having a splendid birthday celebration. It's also the birthday of Miss Shauna Menald. Happy, happy birthday to you, Shauna. And we do hope that it's a wonderful birthday celebration for you. I look back in time. Well, we go back to the year 711, where the Islamic conquest of Iberia, or Spain and Portugal, as it is known, where you saw Moorish troops led by Tariq ibn Ziyad landing at Gibraltar. And therein began the invasion of the Iberian Peninsula, known to the conquerors as Al-Andalus. In the year 1562, on this day, Jean Ribaut and colonists arrive in Florida, the first French colonists in North America. 1789, on this day, George Washington was inaugurated as the first president of the United States, and that happened at Federal Hall in New York City. 1859, on this day, April the 30th, Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities was first published in the literary periodical All the Year Round in weekly installments until November the 26th. And in 2009, on this day, Chrysler Automobile Company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. We now move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish has brought you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One Tiles for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need Tiles for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus. Satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big Tiles with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Need all kind of tiles. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also glad gas and vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosseju Grozy Lanes, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program today. And we do hope that you're having a very good one. We did promise to talk a little bit about the Canadian and Trinidad and Tobago general elections. We will do that later on in our program. Hopefully we'll get the chance to do so. But before that, I wanted to touch on another matter which seems to have been trying to grow some legs, and that is with respect to an IMF International Monetary Fund publication, and it was a technical assistance report, report on external sector statistics missions, dated October 24th, 2028, between the years in 2022, right? And in fact, that was published in March of 2023, right? So this is a report that has seemingly been around for since March of 2023, but we're into 2025, and of course it has come around in the sunset, I guess you could say, or in the period just following the debate on the appropriation bill, the budget for the year 2025-2026. So it is, well, I won't say a dated report, because of course it still has some context for what we are talking about in terms of the economic performance of the country and what have you. But it really is a report just looking at and analyzing the statistical methodologies that are applied by the statisticians, of course, in particular the Central Statistics Office, which handles a lot of the data with respect to the economics of the country, the how various sectors are performing, whether it's agriculture, fisheries, mining, transportation, the accommodation sector, manufacturing. All of these, of course, are very different, and the statisticians have to find different methodologies to be able to assess the extent of economic activity in the country. And they use different approaches to be able to do this. And of course, some assumptions are made. And of course, different approaches are used in terms of surveys and whatnot. So this report, 15-page report, like I said, seems to be coming around now. And the suggestion is that maybe there is something flawed in terms of the methodologies that are being utilized to calculate the certain aspects within the St. Lucia economy. Now, we know that, you know, we've seen it over time, and very often we see what rebasing exercises being undertaken by the by CARTAC, right? And that is an agency which we are part of, along with a number of other players within the Caribbean community, and effectively dealing with tax administration and accounting procedures, and looking at a lot of those practices and giving guidance. And in fact, as a result of what they do, they undertake what are known as rebasing exercises every so often, every 10 years or so, looking at the GDP, looking at where there are gaps. And what usually happens when those exercises actually occur, you find that there is, like I said, usually more activity than is actually measured. So for example, in the last type of exercise that they did back in 2016, well, leading up to 2016, I should say, eventually being changed around 2016, was that there was an increase in the size of the gross domestic product. Effectively, what they were suggesting is that they, prior to that, they were underestimating the size of the economy. And as a result of that, we saw a very significant rise in the GDP number. And of course, as a result of that, we saw reductions in the debt to GDP, which is a ratio looking at the total sovereign debt of the country against or divided by the GDP, or as a proportion of the size of the economy. And as a result of that, of course, we see these figures changing off and on. And so the rebasing usually will, of course, look at an entire series, and it will change all the figures in the series to reflect what is happening. So, however, in this instance, elements, I suspect, within the opposition in particular, are trying to suggest that somehow the $3.6 billion figure, which was being quoted in this year's Economic and Social Report, Review, which is a publication of the Research and Policy Division or unit of the Ministry of Finance, utilizing statistical data coming out of the Central Statistics Office, that somehow this figure may, in fact, be inaccurate. And so on that basis, there an attempt perhaps to sort of muddy the waters in this regard. And I remember, like I mentioned, this is a report that was actually based on a review that was done in 2022, and it was published in 2023. And so there has been a response by the Minister of Tourism. So I'm going to read out the response by the Minister of Tourism. And while I do that, I'm going to try to get Mr. Edwin St. Catherine, former head of the Central Statistics Office here in St. Lucia. Of course, he was the chief statistician for a number of years, has since retired and has entered the world of consultancy, doing quite a lot of work around the world. And in fact, I think he's right now over in Florida. We're going to try to get him on air so that he can perhaps give some insight into the nature of that report. So while we're trying to get him, I'll just quickly go through that story. And it reads as follows, published by the St. Lucia Times. Tourism Minister Dr. Ernest Hilaire has defended St. Lucia's visitor expenditure data following scrutiny from a recent International Monetary Fund, IMF, report that raised concerns about the methodology used in calculating tourism spending. The IMF's External Sector Statistics Mission, conducted through the Caribbean Regional Technical Assistance Center, CARTAC, questioned the accuracy of data collected by the St. Lucia Tourism Authority, or SLTA, through its Visitor Expenditure Survey, the VES. Since the COVID-19 pandemic, the VES has been administered online via email or QR codes, methods the IMF says have yielded a limited sample size. Citing comparisons between St. Lucia's figures and data from the U.S. Survey of International Air Travelers, SIAT, the report stated, quote, the exercise suggested that the total expenditure of U.S. visitors in St. Lucia and the VES might be overestimated by 24.8% in 2023, and the overall total expenditure overestimated by 14%. The report recommended a return to larger, more representative sampling to improve the reliability of average daily expenditure and length of stay estimates. At Monday's pre-cabinet press briefing, Hilaire acknowledged the small sample size but attributed the issue to post-pandemic privacy protocols associated with online surveys. Quote, you have to ask for permission to send promotional material and information to visitors, he said, noting that only visitors who opt in can receive the questionnaire, and from that group, only a fraction responds. He added that steps were already underway to strengthen the methodology. The minister says that since June last year, stakeholders met and agreed to reintroduce face-to-face surveys to improve the sample size. Hilaire also pushed back against accusations that the government had manipulated the data. Over the weekend, former tourism minister and opposition United Workers Party member Dominic Fede labeled the tourism figures quote-unquote bogus, arguing that inflated visitor spending data would distort GDP and national budget estimates. Quote, if tourism, which is 65% of the country's GDP, is inflated by 25%, the whole budget is inflated because the biggest financial contribution is coming from the tourism industry, Fede charged during the UWP's Sunday live broadcast. Hilaire pointed out that differences in expenditure data also existed before the pandemic, during which time UWP served in office. The IMF report noted that in 2019, when in-person surveys were being conducted, the SLTB recorded an average U.S. visitor spend of U.S. $2,354, while SIAT's figure stood at $1,455. The mission recommended a review of the 2019 face-to-face survey methodology, particularly the representativeness of its sample and potential reasons for the divergence. Quote, personally, I believe there will always be a disparity between the American assessment of how much each U.S. traveler spends and our own, Hilaire said. claiming that he'd also had reason to preview UK expenditure figures and differences reflected there too, though the UK estimating higher, with the UK estimating higher expenditure. Despite the IMF's critique, Hilaire maintained confidence in Senusha's data. Quote, "We are working to make sure the methodology is as tight as possible," he stated. "We stand by the figures because we believe that even if the sample might be slightly smaller than what they believe is acceptable, it is still a very good statement of visitor expenditure in the country," end quote. And that piece, as I said, is coming from the St. Lucia Times. Now, I believe we're going to try to get Mr. St. Catherine on air. Let's see if we can actually get him. He should be awaiting our call, and hopefully he'll be able to take it at this time.
Hello?
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Edwin St. Catherine. This is Calix George Jr. calling from Radio Caribbean International.
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much.
How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. And, of course, thanks for agreeing to facilitate this interview on air, and, of course, to be able to give some sense to the what seems to be a report that is becoming rather topical, that St. Lucia Technical Assistance report on external sector statistics based on an IMF mission of October 24th to the 28th, 2022, and published, I believe, in March of 2023. You've had sight of that report. Perhaps you might be able to give some sense of what it's about for the layman and what it's really saying.
Okay, so the IMF has an office in the Caribbean that supports the countries in the implementation of, you know, new methodologies. They review methodologies and they help countries implement better methodologies for measurement and so on, right? So this office called the Caribbean Regional Technical Agency, right, put out this, is the agency responsible for putting out this report. And yes, and they do that from time to time on areas they consider that need to be, they do that from time to time on all areas of statistics, financial and economic statistics in particular, right? And in this case, it was focused on external statistics, of which the measurement of visitor expenditure is a component of that. So that was also a focus of this technical assistance that was done. All right. So the objective of technical assistance is always to review processes,
right,
that are used to measure, you know, things and come up with, review what's been done and suggest ways in which they might be improved.
Right. And of course, I'm just quickly, you know, looking at some of the headings in the table of contents, and we're seeing detailed technical assessment and recommendations on trade balance, on direct investment and the CIP, Citizenship by Investment Program, high-frequency indicators, review historical.
All of these are statistics that have external actors involved,
right,
external to the local economy.
Okay, so they would have looked at a number of
economics. Yeah.
Right. So they would have looked at a number of different data sets, I guess you could say, and how those arrived at, the methodologies to come on with some of these this information. It seems though that there's been a lot of interest, in particular in terms of the visitor surveys, the visitor expenditure surveys that are being undertaken here in St. Lucia. Perhaps you might just want to explain to us why we're doing these visitor expenditure surveys and why it might be important.
Okay, so visitor expenditure surveys are done by the, by the Tourism Authority to establish the amount of expenditure that visitors from various countries make in St. Lucia when they arrive. The amount of expenditure that a tourist makes, right, in the country has knock-on benefits, especially directly to the hotel and restaurant sector, but also a secondary impact on wholesale and retail, electricity use by hotels, and so on. So that is why that expenditure is so very important to measure. And the vehicle by which you do it is to ask the visitor directly, what did you spend your money on while in St. Lucia or during the period leading up to the visit to St. Lucia? Okay, so that is what you do. You go to the visitor in one form or the other, and you ask them questions on all of the activities that they engaged in while on the island, and you find out how much money basically that they spent in that process.
Right. And of course, some of that money would have been spent probably before they actually get on island, and especially in terms of accommodation. And some would be more directly associated with what they in fact spend on the island, I assume. You may want to maybe just break that down a little bit first to understand.
Yes. So that typically a visitor may pay for, there's the European style hotel plant where a lot of the expenditure occurs in the process of the visit while on island. And maybe the payment for the accommodation is done up front. Okay. And there are also situations where the visitor up front pays for the whole package, including all the services that are available to them while on island. That's an all-inclusive arrangement. So there are these different arrangements and expenditures associated with them. Okay. And the tourist board would assess this via this visitor expenditure survey. But that's not the only source of that data. The U.S. Department of Commerce has an international travel office, okay, within the Department of Commerce, mm-hmm. that also monitors, for example, American visitors who come to these islands, and they monitor the amount of expenditure that they spend on St. Lucia.
Right.
All right, and they also do it very accurately. Okay, so it's also another source of validation of that information that you get, mm-hmm. right? That the tourist board is able to get via a survey, and both of these agencies, both the Tourism and Travel Office of the U.S. Department of Commerce, measure the total number of stayover arrivals. In fact, there's very little difference between what the
U.S. authorities,
tourist board
yeah.
puts out and what the U.S. authorities assess to be, the total number of visitors that travel from the U.S. to St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But of course, I guess in the case of St. Lucia, the U.S. data is one aspect, but and yes, the U.S. is in fact our largest source market for visitor arrivals,
right.
but not our only source market. I think they represent about...
It's not our...
Maybe I think... I can't remember the exact figure what it is now, but of course we do also depend on the UK, Canada, and the Caribbean to some degree.
Yes. And the essential difference between the visitor from, say, Europe, and the U.S. is that the U.S. tend to have shorter stay visitors, right? But higher spending per day visitors, mm-hmm. all right? And they also are a dominant part of the market, right? Even when compared to various countries within Europe. So that it's very important to get the information from the U.S. market, correct, because they are a significant and a part of the market, and their tourists tend to spend more per day, even if their length of stay in the country is somewhat shorter.
Right.
Yeah.
So looking at the years in question that they've been looking at, I mean, of course, they've identified 2019, which was pre-pandemic, and they noted
right.
that even pre-pandemic, there were some variances or, as they put it, overestimations in the data for visitor expenditure when you compare the St. Lucia data to the American data that they're comparing it to.
Right.
I mean, have you gone a sense as to, I mean, is it sometimes an overestimate and an underestimate in other years? I mean, how does it actually vary?
Okay, so, yes. So I think the source of the differences has a lot to do with the approach used, okay, obviously. Mm-hmm. But what would happen typically is that you would always compare what the Office of Travel and Tourism of the U.S. Department of Commerce puts out versus what you get from estimating U.S. Expenditures, okay? And what we saw, what we have seen, for example, since 2019, which is where they were almost exactly the same, okay? Mm-hmm. So 452.8 million U.S. estimated by the SLTB, the U.S. Tourist Board at the time, and the same basically estimated by the U.S. Department of Commerce, 452.8 million U.S. All right. However, there was no measurement by these sources in 2020, obviously hit by COVID. But then subsequent to that, there was an underestimation by the Tourist Board, okay, when compared to the U.S. So the U.S. estimated the total value,
right,
okay, at 476.5 million U.S., right, compared to the Tourist Board estimation in 2021 of 403.6 million, right? US, right? So that was an underestimation in 2021. Mm-hmm. And again, and that's about a 15% underestimation by the Tourist Board of tourism expenditure, mm-hmm, when compared to what the US thought, what the US had published.
Right.
And similarly, there was a similar, well, less, it was more like 5%, whereas the 2021 difference or underestimation was 15%. The underestimation in 2022 was just about 5%. Okay, a difference of about 36 million US dollars. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas in 2023, the SLTB overestimated, mm-hmm, by almost 24%, and that has been the source of a bit of concern. You know, it's not that it's consistent overestimation. In fact, the prior 2 years would have seen a 20% underestimation, mm-hmm, and then in 2023 a 24% overestimation, right? So okay, a net of 4% over these 3 year period. Yeah. Right.
So in terms of 2024, the year that has just passed, there has not yet really been that
estimation. They have
estimation.
Not commented on that.
They have not commented on that because obviously that report was actually from 2023, March of 2023.
Yeah. This type of data take a little time to process and then to publish. Yeah, because it needs to make its way into the, especially the balance of payments that the ECCB itself uses to compute, you know, reserve requirements and all of these things. It has a lot of knock-on implications. Yeah.
So even with those comparatives based on the U.S. data and the local data, is there any sort of reconciliation that's ever done in that point? To
I think that, you know, some of the concerns raised in that report relating to methods of collection are valid, you know, and I'm pretty sure that and I do believe that the Tourist Board will pursue them. In fact, I understand from Mr. Louis Lewis that some of these recommendations have already been implemented, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is the move away from a mail-in survey, which can account for this variability.
Right.
All right, over this 3-year period. This variability could come from the type of correction you do based on having done a mail-in survey versus an in-person one, which tends to be significantly more accurate,
mm-hmm.
right? And is much more in line with the gold standard for, you know, collecting and disseminating that type of data.
Right. Now, of course, the question is, and of course, people are now trying to see, well, connect this to GDP figures, and I suppose
right.
GDP within the context of your accommodation and food services subsectors. How, I mean, in terms of those figures and how they are computed, how dependent are they on just that single visitor expenditure survey?
They are not directly dependent on it because expenditure data contains prices and is not a good source for measurement of real growth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So real growth is not a computation that includes prices. So for example, when you are measuring GDP, real GDP, you are more reliant on stayover visitors and the total number of days that external visitors spend in St. Lucia, not so much on the amount paid because that reflects a lot of, price-related movements.
Mm-hmm.
And not real movements in the size of your market. The size of your market is really dependent on the total number of days that visitors spend in your island. So it is, you multiply your length of stay by market, okay,
mm-hmm.
by the total number of visitors from all these markets. So you get a total number of visitor days spent in St. Lucia.
Right.
And that is the driving force behind growth computations. Not so much that expenditure aspect. This is important for the balance of payments,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the balance of payments tells you about, the flows of currency between the U.S. and St. Lucia and the various OECS, ECCU countries. So it's important to understand these flows, right? The central bank is very important. I'm interested in that, as is the IMF. Okay, but that's one set of statistics to manage your external finances and so on. Okay, but in terms of the measurement of real growth in the economy, now there are two types of growth measurements, one that we most often cite is real growth.
Right.
And that is based on total number of visitor days on the island.
So is it that, there would have to be some other dollar value within that context that would...
Is that based on some sort of... Let me explain.
Yes,
what
please.
Happens, right, is that there is a baseline dollar value in 2016.
This is when we had our last rebasing exercise, when CARTAC was involved. So all our prices are set from that 2016 constant.
The prices are locked down in 2016, right?
So then basically,
you don't rely so much on prices. You focus on visitor days.
Okay.
Yes.
So in fact, even if you may have in this instance some variation with respect to your visitor expenditure estimations, that is not tied to the actual changes in your GDP figures for hotels and you know, and restaurants, so to speak, right?
No, not real GDP.
GDP. Okay. Because that was one of the statements that was being suggested. So I just wanted to clarify if, in fact, there's some sort of... The argument was that if there's an overestimation of the visitor spend, therefore that must mean that there's an overestimation of the GDP figures.
So, no. The overestimation in expenditure has nothing to do with the number of stayover arrivals or the total number of visitors. That's really what matters most, right? In GDP, right? So it's there's hardly any difference between what the Office of Travel and Tourism of the U.S. Department of Commerce put out versus what the Tourist Board has put out in terms of stayover visitors to St. Lucia, which has increased significantly from 2019. Okay, so I don't, there's no dispute in that, and that's really what drives the growth figures. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I'm glad that we were able to clarify that aspect. As you said, of course, there is, from the perspective of the Tourism Authority, some willingness, of course, to try to, in fact, go back to the face-to-face types of surveys as well.
Yeah, that is the best approach. What you can do in that scenario is you can, because they must make sure that when they are having these surveyors at the airport, that they interview a good number of persons from each flight across the various countries that supply visitors into St. Lucia, right? So you have to manage the numbers of interviews you do by destination, by airline, and all of that, right? So you make sure they are proportionately distributed so that if you have more people coming from the U.S. for less number of days, more from Europe for more number of days, all of that is reflected in the deployment of persons to do that survey. So when you gross it up, it reflects exactly the makeup,
the composition of
your tourists, the composition of your visitors.
And
right?
This is also the ferry terminal?
That you cannot manage that as well using a mail-in survey. You can still do it, and in this case the tourist board would have done that, but it is more difficult to do because you cannot predict the responses to a mail-in survey as much as you can ensure that your in-person surveys have a certain number of interviews across flights and destinations, if you understand what I mean.
Yes. And of course, this is also captured at the ferry terminals as well, I imagine.
So you would also do yachts and all of that.
Right.
Yeah, because all of those have different expenditure characteristics for these different segments of the tourist market. Yes.
Well, it's been very, very instructive, and we're so very pleased that you have made yourself available to give us some, you know, very useful insight into the world of statistics, and in particular, tourism statistics in this regard, Mrs. St. Catherine. And hopefully we can maybe do this again, because I know there's a lot more that you can share.
There's always a lot in the area of statistics. That's a fascinating area. You know, statistics is and data is the new oil.
That's correct. So data analytics is where it's at.
and exactly.
You're very well placed to be the new oil man.
Wow.
Wonderful. Okay. Wonderful indeed. Thanks very much, sir. And have yourself a wonderful day. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And of course, that was Mr. Edwin St. Catherine, former chief statistician in the Central Statistics Office. And that was quite interesting, quite informative. So definitely want to thank him again for that. We're a little over time. We're actually due to take in our weather report, so we'll head across to do that with our compliments, of course, of St. Lucia Met Services.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also glad that's way and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, you Grozy Lane, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Test Plus.
Create it with Island Star Bathroom Bonanza. Bundle and save from vanities to toilets, shower sets to vanities. Gear them up, triple them up, or buy five or more for 10, 12, and 15% off.
Do something to talk about.
The more you buy, the more you save. Get discounts on selected items like faucets, LED mirrors, cleaners, and more. What more? Bathroom bliss? We're giving you a special introductory offer on toilets starting as low as $240. Island-style bathroom bonanza is on at our Castries, Wardney Bay, and Viewfort stores. Call or visit us today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
Of course, solo 1 point ball. It's now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Telembeth. The forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours, the winds will be blowing from between the east, southeast, and east near 14 miles per hour or 22 kilometers per hour, becoming lighter at times. The weather fair to partly cloudy and hazy with a few brief showers. The forecast for the lesser Antilles over the leeward and northern Windward Islands, partly cloudy to occasionally cloudy and hazy with some scattered showers. Elsewhere, fair to partly cloudy and hazy with a few brief showers. And the weather summary, moisture and instability associated with a low level trough will cause occasional cloudiness and scattered showers, mainly over the northern half of the Lesser Antilles. During the next 24 hours, light to moderate easterly winds will persist across the eastern Caribbean during the next few days. And this was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Telembeth.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Lucia, create it with Island Style Bathroom Bonanza. Bundle and save from vanities to toilets, shower sets to vanities. Gear them up, triple them up, or buy five or more for 10, 12, and 15% off.
Do something to talk about.
The more you buy, the more you save. Get discounts on selected items like faucets, LED mirrors, cleaners, and more. What more? Bathroom bliss? We're giving you a special introductory offer on toilets starting as low as $240. Island Style Bathroom Bonanza is on at our Castries, Wardney Bay, and Viewfort stores. Call or visit us today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. Of course, if you want to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 4523046. Again, 4523046. We were just taking in a bit of analysis of that report, which it seems to be circulating from March of 2023. And that was on the IMF giving some technical advice and recommendations. As they, of course, they quite often do, the IMF, the World Bank, the CDB, they will often, ECCB as well, look at practices within their various countries that they interact with to ensure that, of course, there's accuracy, there's best practice being brought forward, And of course, there's always room for improvement. And of course, let's face it, even the data that is brought forward, even at the budget time, are based on estimates. And quite often, they will be reviewed. And sometimes, originally, you'll see that a preliminary estimate might be 4.7%. And when they do a further estimation and look at all the other data sets coming in, you may even find that and quite often it actually is an underestimation of the actual growth figure, and it actually ends up going upward. So, of course, that is something you've got to always monitor. It looks like we lost that call there. Of course, the number to call in is 452-3046. Yesterday evening, we saw the View on the Morn being launched, being opened up, and that is was formerly known as the Morn Lay-By. That certainly has come quite a long way in terms of what it was originally and what it has become. Of course, that view from the Morn is one which has captured visitors to St. Lucia and St. Lucians, of course, for very, very many years. The panorama of looking north across the harbor and of course, Shark Bay and Groslay Bay up to Pigeon Island. And that actually was launched yesterday. We speak about that in just a bit, but we're going to take in a call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. And what's on your plate today?
Quickly, Mr. George.
Yes, caller.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you doing?
Okay.
Good.
You understood fully everything? What was it?
I think so, for the most part. Did you?
Now, because
why would you say that?
I one of the things I majored in statistics. I kind of find a lot of aspects that really, beyond me on how these people. It's complicated to me. I mean, it's way beyond the ordinary man, that's for sure, to understand how. Because, I mean, it's not unheard of that these institutions, we seem to see, because the bottom line we see about this is how they do it. They end up for everything, how they do it. And they have been known before to do a lot of numbers fixing, I mean, it's not like IMF and those people who are beyond rebuke. But this is what we have. We use it.
But well,
the point is, I don't know. This is rebasing. What's going on there seems to me to be the difference between heads and amount spent in terms of competition of GDP and balance of payment.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're doing a statement of flow, public sector, where you have to use, you're dealing with money, you're dealing with dollars, GDP, and how you tell me you're working out GDP not based on dollars,
Well, I think he's saying that you are basing it on dollars, but using a reference year of 2016. So you're actually almost using the base year, and the variability in the growth is actually tied not from using that base year and the change in the numbers, which is why the rebasing is important.
The base year is important in dealing with the real growth.
The real growth, right?
Yeah, and
exactly.
Not just nominal growth, so you don't.
So you're not bringing in any inflation because, of course, right, the prices may go up because,
so you
things are going up.
Of inflation and so on.
Yes.
And to find real growth. But,
this is what they use, eh? Real growth is what they use for economic growth.
I really missed the point that what he was trying to say was that I get the impression that of the GDP was based on the amount of persons who have
So if
the money is spent
effectively on bed nights. So he's saying that
and not money spent,
and not the estimate of the money spent. That's right. That's what he was effectively saying. But it would within the base year have to be tied to money spent, right? But then the variation beyond that from the base year moving on is not tied to the estimations of money spent in each year, but actually is tied to the
that's what
he was effectively saying. So it's tied to the base year.
Maybe you and I could have that discussion. And
okay, sure, no problem.
No. What I'm saying is that we could have this discussion as people who sort of enlighten in that field of endeavor. And you know, agree to disagree or come to a common understanding of what exactly is done.
Right.
But the point here, the main point I'm making, is still way beyond the ordinary man. And to me, there is no science, no. You cannot expect the people, you know, your people, to understand anything if you cannot. Simple forms, you know, make them try and understand it, you know, and using, sometimes we try and make people understand concepts using the same jargon that they don't even understand.
So, granted, know, I take your point, yes.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying is that, you know, the management of the economy and all these kind of things that which we tend to use and when quoting numbers and looking for endorsement from people, you know, by way of support, as opposed to the other side trying to detract from the management of the economy. You know, the point is we need to be able that the people we're trying to convince understand at least basically. You know what I'm saying?
So you see what we're seeing, in my view, generally is, again, I suppose from the opposition, an attempt to muddy the waters and to say, hey, we cannot have confidence in this data, in the data that's coming up. We saw that argument being brought forward.
I'm not going there.
I know you're not going there, but I'm saying
not going there. I'm
context.
Think for themselves. We want to give them, they have some clarity in what the process.
Right, but that's what I was saying.
Because they might very well be don't understand it.
Right, because I was giving the example. Remember, there was this argument regarding the labor figures, the unemployment data.
It has to do with if they feel it favor them or not. It doesn't have to do with what you know it really is, and that is where I'm going. We're dealing with educating our people, our nation. You know, sometimes we have to put that kind of thing behind. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
And proceed in doing that. You understand what I'm saying? Educating them so no side could come and tell them, you know, and put them off. You understand what I'm saying?
No, and I agree, and I think that's why.
Yeah.
In
but
general,
that's what I'm saying, you know. Anyway,
no. Thanks very much, caller. In general, there is definitely a need for greater financial education, and we're
and
seeing
tomorrow,
it.
Tomorrow is your father's day.
Father's day in terms of Labor Day.
Eh?
You mean Labor Day?
Yeah, he was a trade unionist.
Yes, he was. He was the president of the CSA. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Thanks for that.
Okay. Then.
I'll give him your best wishes. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, but yes, in terms of generally the importance of financial literacy, we're seeing why it's really important. We've seen issues with Ponzi schemes. We've seen issues with, you know, attempts at scamming. We know math literacy, numeracy, financial literacy is very, very important. And I think this is just another example of that. And as Mrs. St. Catherine rightfully pointed out, we're in a data-driven world right about now. Data is driving a lot of things. I mean, obviously, we want it to drive decision making. We want certainly decisions that are being made more rationally. And so therefore, within that context, it's important that we be able to understand as best as possible just some general concepts with respect to what some of these things mean. So I think that, I mean, as I was pointing out, it is certainly something that we do have to try to, in the media space, spend a little bit more time elucidating and trying to see how best we can explain some of these concepts so that people will get a better sense of what is going on when they're hearing some figures, when they're hearing about this term or this economic term or not. We're hearing lots of things, you know, fiscal deficit. We're hearing about current balance and primary balance and the differences there. And who knows, it could potentially have direct application in terms of how we ourselves run our households and our household budgets in some regard. The differences, of course, but some lessons to be taken as well. Now, of course, as pointed out, tomorrow is a holiday, May the 1st. But this afternoon, there is, in fact, a funeral, and we did want to make mention of the late Leonard Scrub Wellington. He is, in fact, is going to be buried and interred this afternoon from 2 o'clock at the Basilica Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Castries. And he, of course, has been recognized for his contribution over the years, in particular in the area of PAN, of steel PAN. And he certainly was a pioneer in this regard, especially as we're looking towards another carnival season. His role in assisting that effort is so very, very important. And we will perhaps try to give some kudos to his memory maybe on Friday as well. Of course, he was also named a National Cultural Hero back in 2013. I believe he was also on the cover of a directorate in 1 year as well. So certainly we want to send out our commiserations to his family and friends. And hopefully you will, of course, enjoy a fitting send-off. So that's our program for today. And hopefully you have a very blessed Labor Day and do enjoy that. Of course, all the best to all the various trade unions. It is, of course, their day, and we do hope that will go very, very well. Have a good one. Take care.